a few verses of reading. Numbers 13, verses 16. Looking at verse 16, then we'll move on to verse 33. Looking at verse 16. 13, chapter 13, then verse 16. All right. These are the names of the men of the spies which Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward, go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. And looking at verse 33, the scripture said, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now that was the consensus of the 10 spies, but it was not the consensus of Joshua and Caleb. Let's see what Joshua and Caleb, let's see how they responded to it. Joshua and Caleb, in verse 30, says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's two different attitudes there. The consensus of the 10 spies was there are giants in the land, and there is no way that we can conquer that land. Joshua and Caleb had just the opposite attitude. Their attitude said, we are well able to overcome it. Let's go get it. Now I want to read another scripture to you. I want to pull these together as we go along in this word tonight. But in 2 Timothy 1 and 12, the Bible says, one of the most powerful verses in the Bible, in my opinion, Paul said, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this service tonight. We have been blessed. We're thankful, Lord, for what you've done. Thankful for your presence that's been with us from the very start, the very beginning, the first opening prayer. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing and what you're going to do. Thank you for this word tonight, God. I pray, Lord, that you will use this word to empower us, Lord, to reach the heights that you have ordained for our lives, Lord, that we would walk where you have ordained for us to walk, that we would be the conquerors that you have called us to be and made us to be in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I said that I believe this is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible, that Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. This is what made Paul such a force for God. It's what made him such a threat to hell. He was persuaded. Everybody say persuaded. He was not on the fence. He was not maybe yes or maybe no. He was not a, well, we'll try it for a while and see how it works out kind of guy. But he was, and he was not a up one day and down the next and hot today and cold tomorrow and wishy-washy, wimpy, limp-wristed, half-hearted, lukewarm Christian. No, Paul was a man on fire. Oh, yeah. He was all in. He had a backbone of steel. He had an iron will that was set on God. He was not blown from pillar to post, from one wind of doctrine to another. He was established. He was persuaded. Everybody say persuaded. Yeah, let's say it. Persuaded. Say it again. Persuaded. Oh, hallelujah. I like that word, persuaded. Now, looking back at our text that I was reading in the book of Numbers, I want you to see what persuaded looks like. Joshua and Caleb were persuaded. The 10 spies that went with them, that accompanied them to spy out the land, they came back with a negative report. They came back and they said, the land truly, it is a land that flows with milk and honey, but there are giants in the land, and there is no way that we can conquer that land. But Joshua and Caleb were just the opposite. They were persuaded. Everybody say persuaded. Hallelujah. And then you might argue the point, and you might say, well, but Pastor, there's a problem. You're telling me that they were persuaded, but they didn't persuade anybody else. Because if you read the scripture, you find out that the 10 spies with the negative report actually persuaded the children of Israel to forfeit their inheritance. And on the brink of a breakthrough into their promised land, they had a breakdown and they forfeited their inheritance. But then I would have to argue with you, and I would say that you are wrong, because they did indeed persuade somebody. They persuaded the next generation to come back, oh hallelujah, and take possession of that which their forefathers had forfeited. What are you saying? I'm saying, think about this. I'm thinking about two men, Joshua and Caleb, that were left, God left alive, because if you read the scripture, all of the ones that didn't enter into the promised land, they all died in their wilderness wanderings, and they never got to go in, and they never got to partake of the promised land. But Joshua and Caleb, oh hallelujah, Joshua and Caleb, God left them alive. Why did he leave them alive? He didn't leave them alive just so they could come back to the promised land 40 years later, which they did. He left them alive because there was a whole generation that was filled with doubt and unbelief, and they needed to be persuaded, and God believed that persuaded men could persuade a whole generation to take what their forefathers had forfeited. So two men, Joshua and Caleb, who believed God's report, were able to persuade an entire nation to believe the promises of God. Numbers 14, 6 and 9, the Bible said, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, they rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land. He will give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Oh, I love that. What a conquering spirit. They are bread for us. Now listen to what Joshua came to say. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Oh, hallelujah. I like that scripture said, if God be for me, who can be against me? Or you could paraphrase it, say, if God be for me, it doesn't matter who's against me. It doesn't matter what's against me. If God be for me. Joshua and Caleb were persuaded, and God used two men who were persuaded to persuade a whole generation to come back and take the inheritance that their forefathers had forfeited. Now let's look at a New Testament persuader. 2 Timothy 1, 8 through 12. Paul is speaking. He said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Watch this. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul said, listen, it doesn't matter what's happening in this world. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. It doesn't matter if the economy is up or the economy's down. It doesn't matter if gas is $15 a gallon and if bread is $10 a loaf. It doesn't matter. He says, I am persuaded that God will keep that which I have committed unto him. Hallelujah. I'm going to commit my money to him. I'm going to commit my body to him. I'm going to commit my finances to him. I'm going to commit my relationships to him, my relationship. And he said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him. Do you believe tonight that he can keep it? Do you believe he can keep your body? He can keep your mind. He can keep your finances. He can keep your family. He can keep your church. He said, I'm persuaded. Paul was persuaded. Now let's look for a moment at the word persuaded. Persuaded means to convince by argument, to rely by inward certainty, to believe, to have confidence, to trust, to yield. One of the greatest needs in the body of Christ today is for men and women who are persuaded. Everybody say persuaded. Everybody say it again, say persuaded. I want that to get in your spirit. I'm even going to say it. I'm going to go further than that. I'm going to say this. You are no force for God, and you're certainly no threat to the devil until you are persuaded. The sad fact is, multitudes of Christians and believers do not really live the persuaded life. What are you talking about, Pastor? They don't live the persuaded life. No, they live the hope-so life. They live the wishful life. They live the unstable, undecided, unsure, unconvinced life. The greatest threat to hell in the church are men and women, young men and women who are persuaded, oh hallelujah, whose faith goes down deep, who have their roots wrapped around the Word of God, and they cannot be shaken. My friend, listen, we live in an hour when you better be persuaded, because the winds of change are blowing and the winds of deception and seduction are blowing. They're seducing spirits and doctrines of devils that are infiltrating our churches and blowing around trying to convince us that the Bible isn't even necessary anymore, that it's old, it's outdated, that the old stories in the Bible were just that, they were just fairy tales and fables. I'm telling you, you better get your roots down into the Word of God. You better know what you believe, and you better know why you believe it, and you better be persuaded. Because if you're not persuaded, someone else will persuade you. I'm persuaded tonight that this book is true. I'm persuaded tonight that every single word in this Bible, I got to live by it. I'm persuaded that God meant what he said and said what he meant. I'm persuaded that this word is still relative and is still necessary for my life today, and nobody is going to convince me that the Word of God is unnecessary, and nobody is going to convince me that we have the right or the authority to open the Bible and pull pages and pull chapters out and say that doesn't apply to us anymore. My friend, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You better be persuaded. Somebody said one time, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. To be persuaded means to be won over, convinced, settled, established. That's essentially what faith is. Faith is arriving at the place where you are convinced and won over and established by the Word of God. Until one is persuaded, there's a struggle. Until one is persuaded, there's struggle with your feelings. There's emotions. There's circumstances. They all war against the mind. Let me give you some examples. I hear the word, by his stripes you were healed. But I feel the pain in my body. And then I wrestle and I struggle. I hear the word, my God shall supply all your needs. But my pockets are empty. And the devil attacks my mind and I struggle. I hear the word, but then there's the doctor's report. I hear the word, but then there's the lawyer's report. I hear the word, but then I hear the world's report. And there is a war being waged. And you have to make up your mind who you're going to believe. Isaiah 53:1 said, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? This war is waged in the mind. It's a war between the Word of God and natural circumstances, emotions, and conditions that contradict the Word of God. Satan wars with sickness. He wars with pain. He wars with financial problems. He wars with emotions. He wars with negative reports and other things. But you must be persuaded. If you become persuaded by the circumstances and the conditions that contradict God's word, you will actually begin to stand in direct opposition to the word of God. Friend, listen to me tonight. I'm trying to help you. I'm not mad at nobody. But I want you to understand something. This was God's people, the children of Israel, that God had been with, that God had fought for them, that God had opened the Red Sea for them, that God had supplied their needs miraculously, supernaturally, and he told them time and time again that he was with them, that he was taking them to a land of promise, a land that would flow with milk and honey. But those same people that were led out of Egypt's bondage by the supernatural power of God, sustained in the wilderness for 40 years by supernatural miracles, their clothes grew with their bodies, their shoes grew with their bodies. The Bible says God supplied for them. They had manna in the morning. They had everything they needed. They had water out of a rock like a river. God went before them in a cloud and a fire. I'm telling you, it was supernatural. But those same people, when they came to the brink of their inheritance, they rebelled against God. They believed a negative report, and they stood with the negative report and contradicted God. And they said, by their words, God, you're a liar. Because they were persuaded by the words of a negative report. I don't know about you, Fred, but that makes me tremble. To think that they could have walked with God, been led by God, saw his miracles time and time again, saw the glory of God, saw that they had a cloud that covered them by day, supernatural fire that went before them by night. They saw God work miracles for them time and time again. They saw God bring water out of a rock like a river. They saw God bring quail that was about 4 foot deep. They saw God's glory everywhere they looked. And then they turned around and said, God, you're a liar. Because they were persuaded by an evil report. If you become persuaded by the circumstances and the conditions that contradict God's word, I'm not going to tell you that we're not surrounded by negative circumstances. I know we are. I'm not going to tell you that we're not confronted on every side by negative words and negative thoughts and negative actions and negative reports, because I know we are. But you're going to have to make a decision that you're going to stand with God and stand with his word and not be persuaded by the negativity that you're surrounded by. Ten spies, they allowed the giants and the other things they saw to persuade them and convinced them that they were unable to take possession of their promised land. And literally what they were saying is, we are persuaded by what we have seen and heard that God is a liar. I know that's strong medicine, but that's exactly what happened. They let their natural senses overrule God's promises to them. On the other hand, Joshua and Caleb saw the exact same things, heard the exact same things, but they were persuaded by the word of God that they were well able to take the land. Caleb stilled the people before Moses, said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Chapter 14, verse 9, Caleb said, "Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear you the people." Don't fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. My friend, that's a persuaded man. Hallelujah. That's a persuaded man. A man that could look at the same giants that the evil report was coming out of their mouth. The 10 spies saw the giants. Joshua and Caleb saw the same giants. But they were not moved by what they saw. They were moved by what God said. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like Smith Wigglesworth said. Smith Wigglesworth said, "I am not moved by what I see. I am only moved by what the word of God says." He said, "Fear looks, but faith jumps." Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want a church full of persuaded people that God will do what He said He will do. That if God said it, He is able to fulfill it. That not one word of His good promises have failed. That God is not a man that He should lie. Neither is He the Son of Man that He should repent. If He has said it, He will do it. If He has spoken it, He will make it good. If I say persuaded. Joshua and Caleb were persuaded by the word of promise. The word of God had prevailed in their thinking over every possible enemy. To Joshua and Caleb, it wouldn't have mattered how many giants there were. It wouldn't have mattered how big they were. It wouldn't have mattered how high the walls of their city were. They were convinced. I mean, this is powerful. They were persuaded. When you become persuaded, it doesn't matter what's against you. When you become persuaded, it doesn't matter how big it is, how mean it is, how ugly it is, how threatening it is. It doesn't matter. Once you are won over by the Word of God, and you're established in the Word, established in faith, it doesn't matter. I believe tonight through this message, somebody's going to be persuaded. And for somebody, the struggle is going to come to an end, and the war is coming to an end, and the giants that have been staring you in the face are getting ready to become bread for you. Yeah. Woo! What are you saying? I'm saying the things that have been trying to devour you, you're getting ready to devour them. Yeah. Let me give you a scripture for that. Jeremiah 30:16 says, "Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured. And all thine adversaries," I'm going to tell you something, God is bad. God doesn't say, "and most of your adversaries," and some of them, and God doesn't even say, "and those really bad ones that really been causing you trouble." God says, "and all thine adversaries," oh, and just in case you wonder if He meant it, He said, "every one of them shall go into captivity, and they that spoil you shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon you will I give for a prey."
That's the word of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God is awesome. God says, you know what God says? He said, "I know there's some things been chasing you, and they've been threatening you, and they've been trying to devour you." He said, "Look what I'm going to do." He said, "I'm going to turn this thing around," and He said, "the thing that's been chasing you is going to start running from you, and you're going to devour it." They are bread for us. Hallelujah. I just got a vision of the little Pac-Man. Hallelujah. Somebody say, "Here I come." Say, "Here I come, devil." Say, "Here I come, dead." "Here I come, fear." "Here I come, discouragement." "Here I come, sickness." "Here I come, depression." "I'm coming. I'm going to devour you." Woo. Let me give you another example. How many love the Word of God?
Amen.
Aaron, Moses' brother, throws his rod down before the magicians of Egypt. It becomes a serpent. Well, the magicians say, that's nothing. Watch this. They throw their rods down. They also become serpents. But there's something different about Aaron's rod. The Bible says it swallowed up all of the magicians' serpents. Hallelujah. The devil's been trying to devour you with sickness, fear, poverty, lack, financial problems, problems in your life. It doesn't matter. Your children aren't acting right. The devil's trying to steal your peace, your joy. The devil's trying to persuade you that God's word is not true, that those prophecies and promises of God are not true and they will never come to pass. And he's trying to get you to take his side, believe his evidence, and speak against the word of God. The devil wants you to say, it's too hard, it's too bad, it's too late, it's impossible. That's what the devil wants you to say. The devil has unleashed numerous circumstances against your promises, and it seems like you're surrounded by the serpents of fear and doubt and negative circumstances. But just like Aaron's rod, oh hallelujah, God said to tell you he's getting ready to flip the script. Hallelujah. Whoa. Your setback is just a setup for your comeback. Yeah, God allowed us to go through some stuff to draw all that enemy out so he can devour him. Hallelujah. Whoa. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah. What I'm trying to tell you is this. The rod, Aaron's rod, the rod that Moses carried, represented the word of God. It represents the word of God. And the word of God will swallow up every serpent.
Praise God.
Every serpent that's been loosed against your life. Somebody say, thank God for the word. Now, the devil's greatest fear is that you will become persuaded that this word is true. The devil's greatest fear is that you become persuaded that God's word is true. Because when you are persuaded, you can look at the dry bone conditions of your own life and you can prophesy your own healing. You can prophesy your own deliverance. You can prophesy your own breakthroughs. And I said, you really believe it? Friend, I know it. For one thing, I've lived it. But for another thing, I can show you time and time and time again. There was a woman with the issue of blood that suffered for 12 years. She said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. She prophesied her healing. The only thing between her and her healing then was touching the hem of his garment. Yeah. So she was given her whole life to touch the hem of his garment. Because she said, if I can touch that garment, I'll be healed. She prophesied her own deliverance. You look at me right now, you know what you're looking at? You're looking at a fulfillment of prophecy.
Yeah.
My wife looked at me, I was 100 pounds, skin and bones. But you know what? She never looked at me and said, baby, you're so skinny. She never looked at me and said, honey, I think you probably don't weigh over 90 pounds. She never looked at me and said, you know what she did? She looked at me and she said, you're my buff babe. She prophesied.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
She said, you're my buff babe. I wasn't no buff babe. I was skinny as a rail. I didn't have a bit of meat on my bones anywhere. Every bone was protruding out of my body. And she prophesied what she believed for my life based upon what God's promises have been and the prophecies that have gone over our lives, that it wasn't time for me to go. Jairus came to Jesus and someone had come to him and said, your daughter is dead. But before that happened, Jairus had prophesied. He said, if you will come and lay your hand on her, I know she'll live. He prophesied. And when that man came with the negative report, Jesus said, fear not, only believe. In other words, he said, don't move off of what you prophesied. He said, you prophesied that I would go lay my hand on her and she would be healed. He said, I'm going to do it and it's going to happen. Don't get moved off of your prophecy. The centurion came to Jesus.
He prophesied his servant's healing.
Yes.
He said, I have a servant. He's tormented with a palsy. He's got the palsy. He's grievously tormented. And he said, but you don't even have to come to my house. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Jesus said, go, be it unto you as you will. God, hallelujah. Ezekiel looked at that valley of dry bones and he started prophesying. He didn't do what most people do. Most people look and say, oh my God, it is dry. Look at those bones. What are we going to do? My God, I don't know what we're going to do. Look at the finances are all dried up. My body is all dried up. My health is all dried up. My relationships are all dried up. Oh, God, that's the way most of us come to God. But Ezekiel, he looked out there and he said, oh, ye dry bones. That's the only negative report he had. Oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. God's going to put meat on you. God's going to put muscle on you. God's going to put sinew on you. And God is going to put his breath in you. And God is going to raise you up. And the Bible said, as he prophesied. As he prophesied. Bones started shaking. Not as he complained. Not even as he prayed. And we believe in prayer around here. But as he prophesied, as he decreed and declared the revealed will of God, those bones began to move and they began to shake. And the Bible says bone began to come together, bone to his bone. And then he said they were all together, but there was no breath in them. And then God said, Ezekiel, prophesy to the wind and call for the wind to come and breathe upon these slain that they may live. He said, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and the breath came into them, and they stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Everybody say persuaded. I'm going to tell you, when you're persuaded, you're dangerous. Let the word of God persuade you today. You're well able to take the land. You're able to defeat the sickness and disease. You're able to break Satan's power over your loved ones. You're well able to fulfill that ministry God's called you to. 1 John 5:4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Woo! Hallelujah! Somebody say persuaded. Say persuade me, Lord. Now faith is not a struggle. Faith is a rest. Once you have come, once you are persuaded concerning the promises of God for your life, the struggle is over. There's a lot of things I'm uncertain about in life, but I'm not struggling about any of it. Because I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed into his hands against that day. I'm persuaded. Faith is not a struggle. Faith is a rest. Once you're persuaded concerning the promises of God for your life, the struggle is over. Now listen, you may have to walk some things out, but internally there will be a peace and a rest that it shall be to you even as the Lord hath said. These are the kind of people Satan fears. Why? Almost done. Because persuaded people have the ability to persuade people. I'm closing. Acts 19:26. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia. Listen to this report. Almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded. What a report. What a report. Sister Carol, what a report. Brother Greg, what a report. Brother Greg, what a report. Brother Kim, what a report. What kind of report would that be? That someone would tell on you that way.
Yes.
Said,
yes.
This Brother Kim, almost everywhere he goes, he is persuading people to believe in God. This Brother Greg, this Brother Frank, this Sister Carol, everywhere she goes, she's making a difference. Everywhere she goes, she's convincing people that God is real and they need to put their faith in God and they need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Almost everywhere he goes, that's what they said about Paul. They said almost everywhere this man goes, he is persuading people to believe.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah! That's what I want. That's what I want in my life. I want the power of persuasion. I want to be able to persuade people that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died for their sins, that He rose from the dead to justify them. I want to persuade them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. I want to persuade them to believe that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us. Hallelujah! Now, I'm almost done. Moreover, you see in here that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying they be no gods which are made with hands. What was Paul doing? He was going through the land, persuading people to turn from idol worship and to turn to the true and living God. And the Bible says, and this was not Christians that were given this report, this was the world. This was the world that wasn't happy about what he was doing. The world was reporting on Paul, saying, almost everywhere he goes, he's ruining our trade. We're not making any money off of selling idols anymore. Because everywhere he goes, he turns people away from idols to serve the true and the living God. This man is trouble for us. I don't know about you. I want to be trouble for the devil. Persuaded people. Persuade people. When you're persuaded God heals, you can help persuade other people concerning healing. When you're persuaded that God restores marriages and heals broken homes, you can persuade others to trust God for their marriages and their homes. When you're persuaded that God can break habits and addictions and deliver captives and set them free, you can be a powerful tool to bring deliverance and restoration. I'm almost done. I want everyone to stand. Pastor, what are you saying? I'm going to make it real simple. Persuaded people. Persuade people. You are never going to persuade someone to believe what you are half-hearted about.
That's true.
You're never going to persuade someone to believe what you are wishy-washy about. What you're up one day about and down the next. What you're, well, maybe so, maybe no. What you're just trying. You never persuade people to want and desire and believe if all you're doing is just trying it. My friend, I'm not trying this thing. I live it every day. This is not something I put on Sunday and take off Monday. This is on me at 3 o'clock in the morning. This is on me at 6 o'clock when I wake up. This is on me when my hair is sticking straight up. This is on me because it's a life that I live. Because I'm persuaded. I am persuaded. And he will keep what I've committed to him against that day. And my prayer for you tonight and for this church is that everyone that walks through the doors of this church and everyone that sits in the seats of this church become fully persuaded concerning their faith in Jesus Christ, concerning the promises of God for your life, and concerning his will for your life. I have a mandate on my life to tell the truth. And I'm not gonna soft soap it. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. I'm gonna tell the truth.
And because I'm going to tell the truth, there are going to be people that are going to come to this church to hear the truth that they're not hearing in other places. There's people right now that are getting sick of sugared water. They're getting sick of sugar-coated preaching that does nothing to nurture their soul, does nothing to nurture their spirit, does nothing to stir them up, and does nothing to convict them. My friend, if I don't get convicted every once in a while, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to tell you right now, this word will convict you. Every time I'm short, I get convicted. Every time I fall short, the Bible says we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But every time I fall short and the Word of God exposes my shortcoming, I get convicted, and I thank God for that. Persuaded people. And persuaded people are a threat to hell. How many want to be a threat to the devil?
Amen.
Just lift your hands tonight. And I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord, Lord, open my heart, open my mind. I want your word to lodge in my heart. I want your word to take precedence over everything in my life and bring a total, absolute persuasion into my life. Come on, lift your hands and lift your voice and begin to tell them, Lord, God, I want to live a persuaded life. I don't want to live a wishful life, a hopeful life, a hope-so life, a maybe-so life, an undecided life, an unestablished life. Lord, I want to live a persuaded life. I want to be persuaded, Lord, because I want to persuade others, God. I want my words to have impact on the lives of others. I want to lead them out of darkness into your marvelous light. I want to lead them out of bondage into your glorious liberty. I want to lead them out of sickness into divine health. I want to lead them out of trouble into the peace of God. Hallelujah. Come on, just lift your hands and stir this atmosphere. Stir el soda my manda de Osataya. Oh Rasana de Oshala de Okaya. Oh Rasana de Oshatala de Osaya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I feel a spirit of faith in the house tonight. I feel a spirit of faith in the house. I feel doubt leaving, Lord. I feel discouragement leaving, God. I feel hopelessness leaving in the name of Jesus. I feel a spirit of persuasion, God, coming up on your people, God. That what you said you would do, you will do it. That what you have spoken, you will make it good. God, that you will not fail us. You will not forsake us. Lord, you will bring us to it. You will bring us to our inheritance. You will bring us to our promised land. You will bring us through. Hallelujah. That's what the word is. See, that's the word working. That's the word gaining. It's gaining power over our mind. It's gaining power over our thoughts. It's gaining power over sickness. It's gaining power over our problems, over our worries, over our fears, over our doubts, over our discouragement, over our uncertainties. That's the word prevailing tonight. That's the word growing and prevailing. Hallelujah. God, I thank you for the word tonight, God. It's true, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We want to be like Paul. Persuaded, Lord. So we can persuade others, God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, Jesus, you are Lord, you are Lord, you are Lord. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what I feel like. It don't matter what it looks like. It don't matter what the devil is saying. It don't matter what circumstances are saying. Your word, Lord. We live by the word. Men should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. It's your word that establishes us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Thank you for the word, Lord. Bless your holy name. Thank you for
why not?
Thank you for
why not your name where it said this Paul, this Paul? Why not your name right there? Not only here, but all through Asia, almost all through Grover Beach, almost all through the five city areas. Almost all through San Luis Obispo, all through Santa Maria. This Paul, this Terry, this Pam, this Frank, this Cindy is persuading people to turn from idols to serve the true and the living God. Hallelujah. So then we used to sing the song that I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. I like that verse says, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. And I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Hallelujah. Is that your song? Is that your prayer tonight? Amen. Just give the Lord another hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Kenny, would you dismiss us tonight in prayer? Did you have some?
Before you dismiss, I just got a phone call from my neighbor's aunt that just passed away.
Okay.
Three old people up like in their 90s together. It's her mother, her aunt, and her dad.
Yes.
The dad is fantastic. This old lady is taking care of herself. It's a bad situation. It's hard to explain.
Yeah.
But she passed away, and they really need prayer. They're really torn
down. Amen. We can understand that. Let's go ahead, Brother Kenny.
Precious Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for your teaching today, Lord God, tonight. The spirit that we feel tonight, Lord Jesus, we just appreciate every day, Lord, that you've given us to us, Lord.
Minister,
we praise you. Blessings first, Lord God.
Yes, minister, yes. Mr. Yes. God, we agree with the Father tonight.
Lord God,
send a word of comfort to me. Peace of God. Hura shada bandhika, hindu person, especially. Hura shantaya. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Dismissed tonight.